with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is recovering from a bad situation. Each of my guests is discussing resiliency after a catastrophe. My first guest gave us a remarkable firsthand insight into President John F. Kennedy's assassination. He was a Secret Service agent assigned to the Kennedy detail back in 1963. My second guest sees green where others see only red. He discussed how to find islands of profit in the sea of red ink. My next guest will help us give meaning to the economic recovery right here in Ventura County. The director of CLU's Center for Economic Research and Forecasting is going to join us. He's going to tell us what's ahead for Ventura County in 2011. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Bill Watkins is a PhD. He's the executive director of the CLU's Center for Economic Research and Forecasting, and he's an associate professor of economics. He joined CLU back in June of 2009. He helped launch the new CLU's Master of Science in Economics program that focuses on forecasting and applied research. Prior to coming to CLU, Watkins served as the executive director of the University of California, Santa Barbara's Economic Forecasting Project. Bill holds a bachelor's degree in business administration and doctorate, both in economics, from UCSB. Welcome to the show, Bill. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great.
Well, good morning to you. Thanks so much for being on the show. Greatly appreciate it. So let's dive right into it, because last time we had you on the show, which was the end of the third quarter, things were a little bit bleak in your analysis and your report. You've just come out with a new report that was published from the Center of Economic Research, and it's regarding the economies in the United States and in California. What did you conclude from that study?
Well, I think the key thing is that this is the first time in years that we're forecasting net job gain for the United States in every quarter. Like I say, that's been a very long time since we've done that. So that's a good sign. Productivity has continued to exceed our forecast, so our output forecast has moved up a little bit too.
No, good. Now, the productivity, does that come as a surprise to you? I mean, here we are. Lots of people got laid off. More people were doing more work with less people. So productivity, just by its own definition, should go up, shouldn't it?
It should, but productivity is extremely difficult to forecast, and I keep saying that because we've really underestimated it the last couple of years.
Ah, okay. Well, now, you talk about the United States. Things are a little bit better there. You conclude that the United States is in recovery, albeit a very soft recovery at this point.
You know, what I think is also more important is that we don't see, absent something really bad happening, a double dip. So there are some people out there worried about a double dip.
Well, there are, including Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, who launched quantitative easing, too, in order to prevent just that thing from happening. And I want to get to that in just a minute. So you don't foresee a double dip in our economy. Do you see rapid expansion? I mean, are we going to start blazing GDP like China is? Or is this going to be a slow, the tortoise wins the race rather than the hare wins the race?
This is the tortoise deal. We expect to see very slow growth, particularly in the job thing. So a lot of the growth we're seeing is output growth without the job growth, all that productivity we talked about before.
Right.
So productivity is probably going to continue to remain strong. Job gains are going to be slow in coming. Unemployment rate's going to, you know, fall down slowly. Falling is hardly the word. Slide, I guess, maybe.
Okay.
It's going to be high. And, you know, those millions of people that have been out of work more than 6 months, this is going to be a long time before they're back to work.
So they're not going to see jobs anytime soon. Let me ask the question that I ask a lot of economists that come on the show. Which do you see happening first? Unemployment at 9% or the Dow at 9,000 points?
that's funny. When did you stop hitting your wife's story?
Yes, it is.
I don't forecast the stock market. It's my opinion it's unforecastable. We do expect unemployment to fall below 9%. Probably in
2012 we'll get below 9% unemployment. All right, so overall, the economy is in recovery mode. It's a slow recovery. It looks like it's going to be a grinding recovery, and unemployment will drop. That's good. And that was what you found on the countrywide, the United States level. Things were not quite as rosy here in California from your report. So tell us how things are going to be different here in California based on your findings.
Well, California is just going to take longer to recover, and we don't see job gains on net this in 2000, 11. It's going to be a pretty weak year, a few quarters with some job losses, some gains toward the end of the year, but just about offsetting each other. So it's going to be one last year of weak jobs in California.
Oh, and then maybe at the end of that time, things are going to start to turn around?
Very slowly. We don't see California accelerating out. It's one of my real serious concerns and theme I've been talking about for a while now. California, in a sense, has shot itself in the foot and given the opportunity to shoot itself in the foot again. So, you know, we're still seeing businesses leave California. We're not seeing business expand here. It's going to be a tough recovery.
Well, let me challenge you on that just a little bit, Bill, because I'd like to hear what you have to say on that. Because people that are cheerleaders for the state of California claim that the future is bright here in California because of the technology sector. And technology has been one of the few sectors that has grown during the past recession, which has resulted in that productivity gain that you and I talked about at the beginning. But tech has grown and led the way out of the recession. We're heavy in tech here in California. So doesn't it then stand to reason that California is going to start to pull out of this because of the tech sector?
No, we're actually seeing some weakness in the tech. Genentech is moving some jobs out of the state. Biogen. Down in San Diego has announced they're leaving. We expect this to be a place where there's still headquarters, there's research places, things like that, but this is not where the new stuff is going to be built. And Facebook, when they do their expanding, they've expanded recently into rural Oregon. We just don't expect to see much of that happen here.
All right. We're talking to Bill Watkins, everybody, CLU Center of Economic Research and Forecasting. We're talking about the United States economy, the California economy coming up in the year ahead. And, Bill, I'm going to go back to the United States level for just a minute and talk to you about quantitative easing, too. Okay? Ben Bernanke and the Fed have implemented quantitative easing, too, for the entire U.S. economy. That may have had an impact on why we're not going to see a double dip. That time will tell. However, from your standpoint, will quantitative easing, too, cause inflation both on a national and a California level?
No, not certainly in the immediate future. We think quantitative easing, for the most part, is harmless, but don't see it doing much good. And in the long run, we do have to worry about inflation. We've increased the monetary base. We've increased federal debt. Both of those are things that often lead to inflation. Bernanke thinks that they can slow down the expansion when it comes. They've never been able to fine-tune that well. So once the economy starts picking up aggressively, we probably will have a problem. We'll see if Bernanke can control it.
All right. So you don't think in the short term or the medium term that inflation is a problem. But here again, I want to ask you some probing questions, because if you look at commodity prices, oil today sits at $90 per barrel. All of the soft commodities, which includes the food, they're at or near all-time highs. Gold, while it has backed off of its high, still remains very, very high. So, you know, the first question is, you see this inflation in the commodities. Eventually, that's going to work its way through to retail prices.
The Fed and we look at what's called core inflationary rate when you exclude food and oil.
Yes.
And then that's been, I know people have to eat food and they drive, but exclusive of those, we've not seen any sign of a pickup. And I also add that I think food's a very special case, and what we're seeing is the result of the move toward biofuels. And this is something that I knew was going to happen, that once you start to burn in corn, the price of all food goes up. And so we're seeing that. The oil thing, oil's it's a control price thing. You've got OPEC limiting supply. You've got a Middle East that's unstable. So I don't worry too much about it.
Well, oil, interestingly enough, in the last 2 years has been considered, some people have wanted to consider that as a currency. Because when oil was at $100 per barrel, they were talking about making that a unit of currency and taking the U.S. dollar away as being the reserve currency of the world.
So you think the Fed messes up monetary policy, watch what OPEC would do with it.
I agree with you. But I'm going to come back. I want to ask you as an economist. This is something that has plagued me for decades. And that you mentioned it yourself. You looked at core inflation excluding energy and food. and you recognize that we all have to eat. Why is it that economists always exclude energy and food? Because we still have to drive, we still have to heat our homes, we still have to eat. Why would you kick those out when looking at core inflation?
Because they're just excessively volatile, and it's hard to read the signal from them. And so we look at the core. Eventually, both of those goods are reflected in the core. The price of food goes up, price of oil goes up, price of trucking going up, price of things go up too. But they're just so volatile, it's very hard to use them.
All right. The volatility is the reason for that. You may have already answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and that is, do you, looking into your crystal ball, do you foresee a need for quantitative easing 3 anytime down the road?
I didn't see a need for 2, so not expecting to see them do it. I actually think the economy is doing a little better than they expected. It's doing a little better than we expected in terms of output. Jobs, we've been right on, I think, so then. But in terms of output, it's been better than they expected, and it'd be interesting to see if they actually cut the QE2 offer.
That would be interesting to see. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that. Now, Bill, looking back over 2010, one of the big business stories of the year was sovereign debt. We had what they call the pig nations, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain, all having real severe debt problems and looking as though they were going to actually default on some of their debt until the European Union stepped in. Here in the United States, overall, we don't have that kind of a problem. But if you look at it on a state-by-state basis, we actually do have sort of a sovereign debt problem. And California leads the discussion as being one of those states that is at or near insolvency. Based on your findings and this research that you've done, how close are we to insolvency? And if we are insolvent, what would that mean to the United States economy and the world economy?
Well, you know, when you're issuing vouchers, at least at that point, you're illiquid, right? Most of us, when we run out of cash to pay the bills, that's the end of the story. Last couple of times, there have been some banks that have refused to accept the vouchers, and looks like we're going to have another problem soon, this summer, probably, another cash crisis. The new governor, the governor-elect, has acknowledged it's a big problem. I hope he can address it, but the threat of things just grinding to a halt or some sort of default, and I know Lockyer loves to tell people there's a constitutional requirement to pay, but you don't pay out of constitutional requirements. They actually take cash. And so I worry about a situation where the vouchers are being issued. People don't accept the vouchers. Why would people work if they're not getting paid? Why would the contractors that work for the state? And at that point, you got to wonder what happened.
Well, we have a precedent right here in the state of California for default, and that would be Orange County. A small subset of the overall. I think it's the 5th or 4th largest county in the state of California. So if something like that were to happen, what would it mean for the United States economy if California were to default?
It depends on how fast the financial sector recovers, and it's recovered quite a bit, but it's still a long way from healthy. And when you look at the financial sector, you have not just the risk of California, Illinois, and some other states, but the pigs in Europe are still a problem. I feel that the European Union has to come apart someday. It's just a matter of when, and we hope they can do it in such a way that it's orderly and doesn't cause another financial crisis. But with weak financial sector and as nervous as people are, a major municipal default would have a big impact on markets.
Absolutely. I think I agree with you there. And you mentioned it in your answer about the banks getting a little bit more healthy. That is true. But looking at your research that you've done nationally and in the state of California, what is your forecast for the banks lending to small and mid-sized businesses in the year 2011? Are we going to see a loosening of the purse strings on the part of the banks giving out business loans?
The banks are in an exquisitely challenging situation right now. Rates are so low that it's extraordinarily difficult for them to make profit, even on demand deposit accounts, checking accounts that don't pay interest rates.
Right.
And so on one hand, they want to make loans. On the other hand, they're still charging off $40 billion a year, which is a huge number. A typical year is maybe $10 billion. And that distracts management. It means their capital is weak. It means that while they want to make loans, their loan standards can't be what they were before the recession. And that's reinforced by a regulatory environment that's extremely challenging for them. So it's a real interesting situation. I think small business will have a difficult time obtaining the money they need to expand.
Wow. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Bill Watkins, who is the director of the CLU Center for Economic Research and Forecasting. Bill, if people want to learn more about you or learn more about your recent forecast, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
It's www.clucerf.org. That's California Lutheran University Center for Economic Research.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much for that. You're a delightful guest. We always enjoy having you on the show. Have a wonderful Christmas. Thanks for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
You too. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you.